We've got a confirmed Packers and Niners Saturday night, 7:15 at Lambeau Field. So more on that coming up after 6 this morning. As we say good morning to Jason Cairns at the outset of the best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Weekend recap, briefly, anything noteworthy you want to share?
No, I didn't do a whole lot this weekend at all. I tried to get in a little bit of reading, and even that seemed to come difficult to me this weekend. So
yeah,
lots of napping, which was all right by me. I think last week one day you had asked about January being or what the hardest month was, and I was reminded of that January is a challenging one for me. So how about you?
Yeah, catching as much football as I could. A lot of Scrabble Go against a guy named Thor, and it's nice. Just kind of that's become like a new favorite hobby of mine. And all of a sudden, this guy—I don't know—it's good competition, and I'm getting better. I'm learning you got to make the small words that build a longer word, and that's a better way to make some points. So anyhow,
right.
All right. Well, let's see. One thing interesting why. Over the weekend, as I'm watching some football yesterday, Tom Brady and the Bucks dismantled the Eagles, and a commercial comes on for Indeed. I don't even know what Indeed is, but there was the music seemed recognizable, and I'm like, that's from the Rise and Fall of the Mars Hill podcast. And not only was the music the same music, which you would know, we listened to that podcast, but
actually,
they began. I think that podcast the host used. The idea of what if, and they were asking what if questions throughout the ad with him, and I'm like, they took the music and the whole concept of the podcast in this 30-second TV. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
And so this is a movie that's coming out?
No, it was a company called Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I can.
Haven't heard of
that's
it.
What struck me. All right.
Yeah.
We have. Also, last night, we'll see if we get to the Colossians one, but so I'm watching The Chosen on the big screen Sunday nights at 6 at Mycon in Chippewa Falls. Thanks so much for them and Fellowship Church putting that on. And so, I don't know, it's just impacting me having an appointed time with others on the big screen. But this is the one, I think you've seen these. I mean, this is episode 3 from the first season, Jesus and the Children. My wife said that was her favorite one, and she's seen all 2 seasons. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree. That's the one that comes back to me most regularly, the kindness and playfulness of Jesus in that particular episode. It's just remarkable. There are so many good episodes in the series, and I have loved most of them, but I would agree with your wife that I think the episode with the children is just astounding. And it really helps us see the humanity of Jesus.
Yeah.
It really good.
Maybe we'll just stay there today and we'll get to first Colossians 1 tomorrow because in the discussion, I mean, Dallas Jenkins is the writer and the executive director of this whole project, Jerry Jenkins' son. And he, really, I mean, he, I guess he's caught some flack for taking creative license, but to me, you know, you're given this scripture about, you know, with the disciples, Jesus says, hey, don't prevent the little children from coming to me. But that leaves it to the imagination of what he was like. And this particular scene is kind of Jesus before he's called the disciples. But, yeah, the whole episode's 28 minutes. It's about Jesus and kids, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think the concern regarding imaginative license, that really was, and I'm sure I have had people criticized for that with Letters to the Beloved, is how do we put ourselves into the story? And I think Dallas Jenkins did a great job with what do we know about the person and character of Jesus? What can we imagine that he would, how would he interact with kids? And, I think he gets it. I think he gets how Jesus would show up with kids, not as a, some spiritual elite hovering above the kids, but as somebody who gets down in the dirt and plays with them. And I think he did a really good job with it.
They've got him, not to give away, but they've got him making kind of raspberry sounds at one point. I mean, it's just, the fun. And one thought that strikes me, even as we wind this up, Jason Cairns, is just the idea of, you know, who's one of the best that any of us can think of all time with kids? Certainly Mr. Rogers, right? I mean, and wouldn't the God who made Mr. Rogers be at least as good as Mr. Rogers at interacting with kids? So.
That's an important insight, and I think the answer is obviously yes.
Yeah. So, all right. Am I going to see you tonight?
I think so.
All right.
That's the plan. I think we'll plan on being there.
So all right. Well,
I don't think there's anything going on.
So. Looking forward to it. We'll see you then.
All right.
All right. Jason Kahn's author of Letters to the Beloved and other books like Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. You get the book or the devotion or both. Learn more at Amazon. His last name, Kahn's, K-A-N-Z. Appreciate his early morning. We think of it as kind of a consecrated devotion is the idea. Relational devotion, I guess, is the way we've been doing this for now, year three. Well, it is, of course, the Martin Luther King holiday today, and we've been mentioning it throughout the morning here on WWIB. And our buddy Drew Fralick, we talk, you know, lighthearted subjects with a lot of times, as he is a counselor and a comedian and also an interim pastor at his church in the Detroit area. And I was thinking about that, Drew, yesterday. I was thinking, you know, it just was like salt and light. I mean, the salt, you know, counseling work, but the light you bring by doing comedy and in the comedy world, the comedians that you've interacted with. And so, and I thought probably living in Detroit and doing the work you have, I thought you might have some thoughts, maybe a little bit more serious than we typically go on this Martin Luther King Day today.
Yeah, it's like a really good cookie, isn't it, Mark? It's like a really good chocolate chip cookie.
You know,
to have a little salt on it.
I think of it as a trail mix, sweet and salty, you know? So.
Okay. Yeah, so I've been, you know, we've talked a lot over the last couple of years about the topic of racism and stuff. And I write a weekly blog. And so this week I was reflecting on an art piece that my neighbor had made. And it's very simple. It was in the San Juan Museum of Art in Washington State. It's a very simple piece, but also really profound and makes you think a lot. It's a pink church pew, and it's sort of like sitting in the museum lobby. It's just sitting there, and then nothing particularly out of the ordinary about it, but there's a plaque that's engraved on it that says, "Anyone who sits here shall be forgiven of racism." And it's actually quite controversial. It makes you think about forgiveness, the limits of forgiveness. It's a great piece of Christian art. My neighbor is a believer and been in Detroit for a long time. And it encapsulates the whole gospel. It's this very, very controversial, but like wild grace that God has for us. So I wrote a piece on that this week, and if people want to check it out, it's on my website. And there's obviously a lot to the topic, but I knew that I was getting close to how I felt about the topic when a little bit of lightheartedness started to enter into what I was writing. And when I feel it getting funny, then it's like, okay, I know I'm getting close to the...
Yeah.
To the end of this serious topic. You know, It needs to have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So people can check that out if they want to, but yeah.
Very good. And where do they find that?
So you go to drewfralick.com. It's called Pink Pew.
Uh-huh.
And I hope people enjoy that, but a little bit of laughter in there, but also obviously very serious.
But that's who you are. I mean, we said sweet and salty, salt and light, a mixture. And so we appreciate it, Drew. All right. Hey, well, God's grace to you this week, and we'll talk to you next Monday, huh?
Take care, Mark. Thanks.
All right. Our buddy Drew, drewfralick.com. Check that out.
The Green Bay Packers had their playoff bye week, and now the San Francisco 49ers are coming to Green Bay.
Jimmy under center. Elijah Mitchell the back. A toss sweep. Juszczyk leads the edge. Good block there on Lawrence. Elijah Mitchell. Touchdown! San Francisco!
That's KNBR San Francisco with the call, almost as annoying as the Vikings radio announcers. As the Niners went into Dallas and beat the Cowboys 23-17, they will face the Packers Saturday night at 7:15 at Lambeau.
So Saturday night, 7:15. So that's apparently the warmer of the 2 days for the weekend. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think the initial temp I heard was about 12 degrees,
uh-huh.
Still plenty cold.
Yeah.
So, Niners are a tough physical team. We'll see how the Packers stack up. It man, 30-28 I late last night as I was getting worried about the game, and it's just a game. But yeah. I started getting worried about it, so I looked at the stats from the last time the Packers played the 49ers. Of course, that one was a walk-off field goal. Mason Crosby with the game winner at the end. So, Saturday night.
Yeah.
See how it goes down.
All right, weekend recap here on a Monday, a Make Us Laugh Monday, a half hour from now, our best jokes. So we bring you those, a regular fixture. But I don't know, recapping my weekend. Yeah, I was looking forward to the NFL football action.
Although, sure.
And there were, and there's still more games. There's one tonight, which has significance because it's going to be Arizona at the Rams. And the winner of that will go to Tampa Bay and see if they can beat Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Can somebody please
make that happen? Glad for Cincinnati to see them get a win. It's been a long, long time since they did. But I'm going to take it from, you know, sometimes you'll hear from soup to nuts. I would say my weekend made rotisserie chicken soup again. This has become kind of a go-to soup for me just in the last couple of months. I like the creamy version, and you take the meat off the one and a half rotisserie chickens. They had a good deal at festivals, so I did that. But then also the other end of the spectrum, cleaning the toilet. In 23 years of marriage, I haven't done that a lot. Confession time.
Sure.
And between my wife and children, probably my wife more than anybody. But you know what? That's a good servant thing. You could get down, and then afterwards, that wonderful feeling, like, look at how it sparkles. So.
And then it's like, no one used the bathroom for a while. I want to just keep it sparkling. Right.
And then I'm like, do you tell your wife, or do you just wait for her to know?
Sure. Anyhow. There you go. So I went into the weekend thinking football, football, football. This is what I want to do with my weekend. And I did. I caught parts of each game. Uh-huh. I never watched an entire game. But, you know, and there weren't as many compelling ones as maybe I would have hoped, a couple. But I have to say the absolute highlight of my weekend had nothing to do with football. And it even occurred while a football game was going on. We went mid-afternoon yesterday to the Sledding Hill in Rice Lake. And I call it the Sledding Hill because it's actually like a city-sponsored one. They built a warming house and have a bunch of sleds actually from the city if you don't have your own. And so there are quite a few people there. But just there's something about, like, yeah, I still enjoy going down a hill on a sled. But to see my children, particularly Cooper, to see just the joy on his face as he'd go down and then see him rushing up the hill to go down again and again. It wasn't nearly as cold as maybe I would have thought, but it was the absolute highlight of my weekend to see my children outdoors and some nieces and nephews with as well, to see them having such a great time. Couldn't ask for anything better. That
the
was
little
my absolute
I know about
highlight.
Cooper, he is wholehearted, right?
Oh,
and
yes.
So when he does it, he's all in.
He has a zest for life. Uh-huh. God-given sense for life.
All right, it's a Make Us Laugh Monday. We gather our jokes, and we bring them to you. Three apiece here on a Monday morning. And I'm going to start off with this one. Yeah, you know, if you're feeling guilty about your kids watching too much TV, just mute it and put the captions on. Boom, now they're reading.
There you go. Well, I'm going to start with my weakest one, but you may think all of these are kind of weak on a Monday, but we tried. What did the lettuce say when a fight broke out in the refrigerator?
What?
Everyone remain calm.
I like it.
Yeah, okay, that's the throwaway.
All right. What kind of doctor is Dr. Pepper?
I don't know.
A physician.
Okay, this one I actually do like, so no one said anything bad about this one. Why was Pavlov's hair so soft?
Why?
Because he conditioned it.
Isn't that great?
All right.
My last one, you know, a lot of resolutions about losing weight, and so I'm kind of journaling about it. Dear Diary, diet day number one. All the pie has been removed from the house, and it was delicious.
That's the way to do it. And finally, on a Make Us Laugh Monday here in the WIB Wake Up Show, we would welcome yours at 715-396-1670, because you probably can do better than we did. If you flip over a canoe, you can wear it as a hat. You know why?
Why?
Because it's capsized.
There you go.
Oh, Make Us Laugh Monday. Did you at least crack a smile or a groan?
We'll settle for a groan.
A groan. We will settle for that. In the meantime, though, we have some great music while you're thinking of better jokes. As promised, this is Ann Wilson's brand new one, the follow-up to My Jesus. It's called Sunday Sermons. WWIB, we are family. Thanks for laughing or groaning with us.
Well, the third Monday in January, which today is dubbed Blue Monday. Now, this doesn't have to do with the police. We love them, support them. But actually, this is known as the saddest day of the year.
Really?
Yeah, feeling down on this day could be a sign of the winter blues, but for others, Blue Monday lasts all season. If short and gloomy days are draining your energy levels and affecting your mental health, well, you've got classic symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, otherwise known as SAD. So, this form of depression is triggered by changes in weather and daylight that occur in winter. The good news is there are many effective treatments and preventive measures for SAD, and we've got four of them for you.
Yeah, the first one would be to consider light therapy. Now, seasonal affective disorder is triggered by changes in our exposure to sunlight. Makes sense. Sitting in front of a special type of light box for about 30 to 45 minutes every morning can reduce your symptoms. Make sure you talk to your doctor about whether this treatment option is the right one for you. But I mean, again, we all know this before anybody poo-poos it. You think about a nap in a sunbeam, right? There's just something about sunlight and why yeah. does God even say, hey, there won't be any more sun in heaven. The Lord himself will be the light. Light is something that we are drawn to.
Right, and even if it's bitter cold, it looks like later this week we're going to have a really cold day, but at least it says the sun's going to be out. So just
yes, please.
Soak that in, okay? Now, the thing is, when it's that cold, you don't want to stay outside a long time. Second one, maintain a balanced diet. People affected by seasonal affective disorder tend to crave more sugary foods, which allows your body to feel greater fatigue. Try balancing your diet by including more fruits, veggies, lean proteins, and healthy fats. When
two
you
more.
Eat better, you feel better.
Two more here on this Blue Monday, battling seasonal affective disorder, the Wib Wake Up Show. How about making a plan? Are you oversleeping or just spending more time in bed? Develop a fun menu of activities or daily exercise or outings that can help you when you're looking for an uplifting diversion. Just something to say, hey, this is what is on my docket today, whether it's work responsibilities or just something fun to say, hey, let's get out of bed and do something today.
And finally, lack of sunshine means lower levels of vitamin D, which is a nutrient your body needs. So try spending some time outdoors when the sun is at its highest. Your doctor might also recommend vitamin D supplements if your body needs an extra boost.
And hopefully we can come alongside you as well and give you some encouragement.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Yeah. That one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
Well, this January 17th, this Monday, is Martin Luther King Day. And I think a holiday recognized. And in fact, no mail delivery today. And we've got seven things for you that you may not know about Martin Luther King Jr. And so we want to share those with you this morning on the Wib Wake Up Show. Starting with the fact he was born on January 15th, 1929, as Michael King Jr. His father, then pastor at the Atlanta Ebenezer Baptist Church, had traveled to Germany, though, and became so inspired by the Protestant Reformation leader Martin Luther that when he came back, his dad not only changed his name to Martin Luther, but his five-year-old son's name, too.
Had never heard that before. Wow. Number two, seven facts you might not know about Martin Luther King Jr. here in the Wib Wake Up Show. Martin was so bright, he skipped high school entirely and enrolled at Atlanta's Morehouse College at the age of 15.
Yeah, wow. There you go. How about that? Third of seven things you may not know about Dr. King, he received his doctorate 11 years later in 1955 in systematic theology.
So at just 26 years old, Number four, Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech was not his first speech at the Lincoln Memorial. 6 years earlier, in 1957, Dr. King was among several civil rights leaders who spoke during the prayer pilgrimage to a crowd ranging from 15 to 30,000 people.
And in fact, I think even as the speech goes, there was, you know, he was giving the speech and somebody said, tell him the dream, Martin. And lo and behold, that famous speech from August 28, 1963. A fifth thing, King was imprisoned. You've heard that, but did you know how many times? He was imprisoned nearly 30 times. He went to jail 29 times, arrested for acts of civil disobedience, and trumped up charges like the time he was jailed in Montgomery, Alabama in 1956 for driving 30 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Seven things you might not know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. here. Number six, he narrowly escaped an assassination attempt on his life a decade before his life was tragically taken. On September 20th, 1958, Dr. King was in Harlem, New York, signing copies of his new book, Stride Toward Freedom, when a woman plunged a 7-inch letter opener in his chest. Dr. King survived after undergoing hours of delicate surgery.
Yeah, you know, Caleb, I just heard this and getting this ready. I mean, apparently she comes up to him the line and says, "Are you Dr. King?" Yes, she says, "I've spent 5 years looking for you," and then she stabs him.
Mm.
Seventh and finally, King's last public speech foretold his death. Yes, in the speech in Memphis, Tennessee, on the night before his assassination, on April 3rd, 1968, King told the crowd at Mason Temple Church, quote, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land, and I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Martin Luther King Jr.
celebrating his legacy today.